I believe the saying goes, those words may come back to haunt you. As current U.S. Senator for New Jersey and former Newark Mayor Cory Booker is demonstrating, he's never heard of that expression or feels he's immune to it, one of the two. Exhibit A, what he said about Education Secretary Betsy DeVos during her confirmation versus his words a few years ago. How about Exhibit B, Booker's comments about Attorney General Jeff Sessions during his confirmation versus Booker's words a few years ago with the rate Booker's going. We have to add some letters to the alphabet to cover all the exhibit tags we'll need, but nevertheless, joining us now to explore all this is the co-founder and editor-in-chief of Politistic, Jennifer Burke. How are you today, Jennifer?
I'm doing all right today.
And
how are you?
The website is the obvious, politistic.com, to learn more about the writings and the insight that Jennifer and her team provide in the world of politics. And you know, certainly, Jennifer, a hypocritical politician is not a foreign breed, certainly not to New Jersey or the nation, but I've rarely seen one this blatant. Well, just go with those two exhibits I talked about. As far as Betsy DeVos, how much of a hypocrite is Cory Booker now versus then with what he said?
You know, our favorite nickname for Cory is con man Cory Booker. Because it's clear that he will say and do anything to get noticed and for political expediency, because he's just auditioning for to be a 2020 presidential candidate. But when Betsy DeVos was confirmed, he did a video, you know, his theatrics, a video talking about children, and we're going to continue to fight for the children. I don't remember everything he said, but it was a theatrics. And he got excoriated on Twitter by many people because Cory Booker not only called Betsy DeVos's school choice organization an incredible organization, he served on a charter school board with Betsy DeVos.
Whoops.
He spoke at a policy summit hosted by Betsy DeVos's school choice organization. So he's aligned himself with her. He's had great things to say about her, but then now that she is Donald Trump's nominee, or was now education secretary, now she's the worst thing that could ever happen to kids. And if that's not, that to me, that's even worse than what he did with Jeff Sessions. You know, with Sessions, he stood alongside Sessions, he praised him for his civil rights work, and all of a sudden he testified, you know, against Jeff Sessions, you know, claiming that he would be bad for black people. So I guess, I mean, along the same lines, it's all bad. But the fact that he would ramp it up even more with he didn't have a chance to testify, and so he releases a video on Twitter, it's just pathetic, and it just shows why he is con man Cory.
Well, with that Jeff Sessions testimony that he gave, if that was a court of law, instead of a Senate committee hearing, the testimony would have been thrown out for lack of evidence.
Right. There was nothing to it. Absolutely nothing to it. It was just, you could tell. I don't know if you watched him in the Sessions hearing, but I'm like, okay, how long did you work with an acting coach for this? Because there were certain times he'd shut his eyes for emphasis, and his delivery, you know, he tried to sound all concerned, and his delivery was terrible, which is why David Clark called him a poor man's Obama, because he couldn't even read words from a page with the way in which Obama, you know, can actually do that. But and he looked foolish with the Sessions hearing, because right after he did his testimony, you had three black men who had worked side by side with Jeff Sessions in Alabama in some capacity, whether they're at the attorney general's office or in law enforcement in Alabama, who had glowing things to say about Jeff Sessions as a person, about his character and integrity. And I just think it just made Cory Booker just look like a foolish liar.
Oh, and Jennifer Burke, who is the co-founder, editor-in-chief of Politistic. Politistic.com is their website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You can read more about her writings and her revelations and, well, not revelation, I guess reminders, because it's just a retelling of Cory Booker history. The one column you had not too long ago, 10 Quick and Convenient Truths About Con Man Cory Booker. He, you know, if he couldn't make it as a politician, he'd be great as a fiction writer, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would be. I mean, he's a con man Cory. It's a, he's a perfect example of someone who is making it clear they don't really care about the job. They don't really care about serving the people and their constituents. They care about the power. I mean, because who's going to – that's some massive flip-flops on his part to go from one, you know, praising Jeff Sessions to calling him the biggest racist that ever walked the face of the earth, basically, and then from praising Betsy DeVos to then attacking her. I mean, it's – he very obviously is just all about positioning himself for more and more and more power.
Well, I remember, certainly, you know, we're here in New Jersey, northern New Jersey, so the legend of Cory Booker was known to us before it was known to the country. I recall the $100 million check that Mark Zuckerberg wrote for the Newark school districts, but the little, if any, reported on story was after a period of time, Zuckerberg went to Booker to say, you know, you're supposed to be spending this on the kids, not the teachers' unions.
Hmm.
A lot of people don't know that part, or they want to gloss over that part. It seems like Booker is hoping that people's memories are short, given his flip-flops. You know, you wrote about how he pocketed almost $700,000 from his former law firm. He was serving as mayor of Newark at the time, and his former law firm got a $2 million deal from the Newark's Housing Authority. If you look at the Newark Board of Education, the last thing Cory Booker should ever be turned to for advice or to be an expert on is anything to do with education concerning the disaster that the Newark School District is. But why doesn't that seem to matter to anybody?
Yeah, you know, the unfortunately, too much of the left controls the media, and so you'll never hear nationally them talking about any of this stuff when it comes to Cory Booker. Just like reading this one part or looking at this, the fictitious character, a supposed violent drug lord that Booker made up, that T-Bone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it makes me think of Obama and his, what do they call it? The girlfriend in his book. It was like a conglomeration of characters. I don't even know. It was a made-up character. It was a made-up girlfriend. I forget the exact words they used for it, but, I mean, I guess that's just the in vogue thing to do when you're trying to portray yourself in one way, is just to make up whatever in the world you made up, you know. And he didn't even live in Newark, but was living in New York. I mean, I don't even know how some of these people continue to get elected that don't even live in. Now, there's some places like in Arizona, you do not have to live in the congressional district in which you represent, but you do have to live in the state. I mean, you can't live in say you're representing New Jersey and then actually live in New York and just have an address. I mean, we've seen that happen before. There was, I think there was someone in Florida that actually wasn't living in Florida, that was really living in D.C. and was just using a family member's address. That's just, and it was another Democrat. That's just a terrible, terrible thing. And then the claims that a teenager died in his arms and basically he went and took a photo op.
Well, that too.
This is the type of person that Democrats want to elevate, and the whole reason is, I think, even the fact that anyone would rally around and praise Cory Booker and even see him as a valid 2020 presidential candidate just shows Democrat identity politics at its finest.
Well,
they don't care about the truth. They don't care about their past. They don't care about their level of integrity. Oh, we lost with Hillary. We need a minority. We need a black person so we can rope those votes in. That's all this is about.
Well, that becomes a big question. We're getting into this later on in the show. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But has the Democratic Party become the cult of personality versus the party of anything of substance?
Yeah, they have become the cult of personality, and they have also become far left radicals. I mean, I think we'll see Democrats go further and further to the left, which is why we saw that stunt by Elizabeth Warren. You know, she who rails against Wall Street and talks about Trump making money off of flipping houses when in fact she did the exact same thing and has gotten a lot of money from Wall Street. I think we'll see the radical left come out and really try to take control of the party in hopes that, you know, maybe that just that quick surge to the left will help them win. I mean, this is why you see the antagonism and bringing out the communists and the anarchists and the Marxists who are constantly doing these violent protests and destruction of personal property. This is the direction the Democrat Party is going to go. They're going to try to find, I think that in 2020, they're going to run either some minority or a woman, and it's going to be someone who is as radical as they can find. They're just not hiding it anymore. I've said for years, I don't think the average Democrat walking down the street truly understands just how far left radical today's Democrat Party is, and the leadership in the Democrat Party is. I don't think most people get it.
The website is Politistic.com, the website for Politistic. She is their co-founder, editor-in-chief, Jennifer Burke. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.